Support for Newsworthy comes from Enlivion, providing affordable housing and supportive services to help build strong foundations for a better future for hardworking families, seniors, and the disabled in Charlotte. More information available at enlivion.com. And from Thrivent, a financial services company working with individuals and families to develop strategies for managing their money and planning for the future. More information at mark.hargrove@thrivent.com.
From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. The City of Charlotte's proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year doesn't call for a property tax increase, but the city's stormwater fee will increase by an average of nearly 70 cents a month, and the city's sewer fee will increase about $5.50 a month. The budget, released Monday night, raises the minimum pay for city employees to $24 an hour, an increase of a dollar. Hourly employees are also slated to get a 4% pay bump over the next year in two phases. The city's general fund, which pays for police, firefighters, and other municipal services, will grow 5% to $944 million. City Council will hold a public hearing on the budget on May 12th. Charlotte City Council last night voted in closed session to preemptively settle a potential lawsuit by Police Chief Johnny Jennings. Jennings is upset that former councilmember Tariq Bukhari sent him threatening text messages last summer during a dispute over whether officers should be allowed to wear outer carrier protective vests. WFAE uncovered those messages 6 months ago. Bukhari wrote to Jennings that he would try to get him fired and that he would cripple his legacy. Jennings has not filed a lawsuit against the city. Bukhari resigned from council last month and is now a high-ranking official at the Federal Transit Administration. A U.S. District Court on Monday ruled that the North Carolina Board of Elections must certify Democratic incumbent Allison Riggs as the winner in the race for a seat on the state Supreme Court. The ruling could mark the end of 6 months of election challenges brought by Republican Jefferson Griffin, who sought to discard more than 65,000 ballots. Steve Harrison has this report.
After two recounts, Riggs has a 734-vote lead in the race. But the Republican majority, North Carolina Supreme Court, had opened the door for Griffin to win by requiring roughly 5,500 overseas and military voters to provide photo ID or have their ballots discarded. But District Court Judge Richard Myers dismissed Griffin's efforts to discard ballots. He wrote, quote, "You establish the rules before the game. You don't change them after the game is done." He wrote that the retroactive invalidation of absentee ballots violates those voters' rights, and that the requirement that overseas and military voters provide photo ID violates their equal protection rights. Myers ordered the State Board of Elections to wait a week before certifying Riggs as the winner to give Griffin a chance to appeal. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
Charlotte City Council will vote on updates to the city's energy and climate goals later this month. The city has made significant strides toward electrifying its buildings and improving energy efficiency, but with the federal government cutting spending, can the city still meet its ambitious emissions reduction targets? Zachary Turner has more.
The Office of Sustainability will present the updated plan to Charlotte City Council next Monday. The changes push some goalposts back, such as electrifying city vehicles by 2050 instead of 2030. But they would also add other objectives, like installing 600 megawatts of renewable energy generators. During a committee meeting Monday, Councilmember Ed Driggs asked Charlotte's Chief Sustainability Officer, Heather Bullock, if she has concerns over ongoing federal funding.
Well, we just applied for a grant through the North Carolina Clean Tech Center that is moving forward, and so... We remain hopeful.
The funding cuts announced so far won't impact initiatives like Solarize Charlotte Mecklenburg, a group purchasing program for residents to buy solar installations at a lower rate. That program is set to launch later this spring. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
A Charlotte City Council committee met in Uptown Monday to hear about an updated plan on the Symphony Park redevelopment in South Park. Kenneth Lee has more.
The Simon Property Group-owned 7.5-acre park is seeking support for a major expansion. Planned improvements include a new plaza, permanent restaurants, and new retail space at the park that's now a little-used bandshell and lawn next to the mall. The project is estimated to cost about $21 million. The property group is requesting $8 million from the city to help complete the project. If approved, the Charlotte Symphony would have rights to up to 8 performance dates each year. Most committee members voted to move the project forward, but Councilmember Ed Driggs expressed concerns about how city funds would be allocated and why Mecklenburg County, which usually funds parks, isn't kicking in funds yet.
This is actual taxpayer dollars to fund a partnership, the commercial advantages of which are apparent to the our partner. But how does this align better with the city than it does with the county?
The committee will now send the plan to the city council for consideration and approval at the May 27th meeting. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
Charlotte could soon open its first non-congregate emergency shelter for people living on the street. The shelter would be more like a hotel and less like a traditional shelter, with about 50 individual rooms and the ability to stay during the day. Deputy County Manager Anthony Trotman said such a shelter would fill a need to provide an opportunity for people who don't want to go to a traditional dormitory-style facility.
We know these individuals that are unsheltered, that are on our streets uptown, they do not desire to go into the congregate shelter settings.
Mecklenburg County and the city would partner with United Way to fund and open the shelter, which they hope to open in summer of 2026. Officials didn't discuss the total cost or potential sites, but said it would not be located in Uptown. Rock Hill business leaders have asked York County for $1 million to finish a road connecting Aspen Business Park. It's also a path, officials say, to more than 1,000 jobs. The Rock Hill Herald reports the County Economic Development Subcommittee recommended the allocation for International Drive after a pitch last week from the Rock Hill Economic Development Corporation. York County Council has the final decision and could make it later this month. The money would come from the county's portion of a state gas tax used to improve roads. A private foundation will help a North Carolina nonprofit that's lost federal funding. The Trump administration rescinded a $1.6 million grant to North Carolina Humanities last month. It supports museums, libraries, and history education in nearly every county. Executive Director Sherry Paula Watkins says the Mellon Foundation is stepping in with $200,000 to help in the short term.
This is a financial crisis, and we're so thankful for the Mellon funding that is bridging the gap, and we are asking for other supporters right now to donate to us as we navigate through this uncertainty.
Watkins says she hopes Congress will restore funding in the next federal budget. A creative student-led fashion show hosted by Mecklenburg County took place over the weekend. As Elvis Meniese reports, the show aimed to highlight how that empty can or bag you're about to throw away could be destined for more than just your local landfill.
Spectators cheered as seven students walked the runway for the seventh Recycle the Runway show at North Lake Mall. Models posed in outfits made from trash bags, music hymn sheets, and over 200 cans. 14-year-old Sophia Brin from Northwest School of the Arts led the design efforts for an outfit on display that depicts a trash bag being burned and has leaves hanging. She aims to bring awareness to the impacts of wildfires.
Destroying all of our trees and forestry, which can lead to animals without homes. And it also leads to urban areas and cities also being burnt, like California, which can displace many people.
Aaron Cottle is with the county and helped organize the show.
Part of this is to get people to want to recycle more and recycle right. And a lot of that has to do with kids, getting kids to understand what is important and how you can do things the right way. And they pass that on to their families, their friends.
Students were tasked with creating outfits from at least 85% of items that can be recycled in Mecklenburg County. Elvis Meniese, WFAE News.
And finally today, the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame announced this year's inductees. They include country singer Luke Combs, born and raised in Huntersville. Last fall, Combs made headlines hosting a benefit concert for Western North Carolina, along with Eric Church, Billy Strings, and James Taylor. That concert raised nearly $25 million for Hurricane Helene relief efforts. Other inductees include singer-songwriter David Childers of Mount Holly, rockabilly performer Dexter Romweber of Chapel Hill, and legendary Charlotte radio host Hattie Leeper, also known as Chatty Hattie. In the 1950s, she became one of the first female black DJs in the South.
They call me up every couple of weeks. South California.
An induction ceremony will take place in October in Kannapolis. And for Tuesday, May 6th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.